Amen? Okay, now there's a story here in 2 Kings chapter 7 that you may be real familiar with. You already know it. But I'm going to share it with you tonight anyway. About these four lepers. Now, the story goes that, oh, by the way, I was real disgusted today. I don't know why. I'd think anything odd of it. But, you know, I've been teaching the book of Revelations in Sunday school. And today there was a liberal talk show host that came out and they were playing it over the radio saying that he said that any person that really believed that the book of Revelations was all true, that, you know, there had to be some sort of a nit-witted, simple-minded person. And I thought to myself, man, are you, you know, what is the matter with you? Anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there. So I'm simple, nit-witted in some people's eyes because I believe the Word of God is true. Amen? And this is not a story that happened like this. Okay? This is not a fairy tale. And so there was a famine in the land. And the famine had come into the land because Elijah had spoken and told them there was going to be a famine. And everything was extremely hot. It was so bad that... that they were, I mean, eating horses and, you know, eating everything, and there was nothing left to eat, and the city was surrounded and taken captive by the Syrian army. And so there's these four lepers. Now, you got to understand leprosy, okay? When you have leprosy, nobody fellowships with you, except if another leper, right? Because if you already have leprosy, you can't catch leprosy because you already have leprosy, so you don't care about the lepers, right? But if you don't have leprosy, you don't want to get leprosy, right? And so the lepers, man, even though things are bad, everybody left them alone. Whether they were the enemy or your own people, nobody wanted to mess with you, right? So you don't even want to kill a leper. You don't even want to get close to one. You don't want to stick one of the swords. You can't shoot one because they didn't have any gun back then. And so you don't even want to get close enough to stick one of them. Something might get off on you and you get leprosy. So no matter who you are, you just don't mess with them. But, you know, it's an isolated, lonely thing being a leper. Right? And so there's these four lepers and they're just sitting at the gate and they're sitting outside the gate. Nobody wants them to come in and the Syrians don't want to mess with them. And so these four lepers get to talking. And they get to talking amongst themselves, and they're going back and forth, and said, you know, we're in a real bad predicament. First is, you know, we don't have anything to eat. And if we go into the city, well, they'd just kill us because we're lepers. But if we stay in the city, we're going to die anyway. And so they said, why don't we just go on down to the camp of the Syrians? Because, you know, being that we're lepers, nobody really going to mess with us. Maybe they'll throw some food to keep us away from them, and we'll at least get something to eat. And if they kill us, it don't make any difference. We're going to die anyway. So no matter what, we're faced with death, so we might as well step out. Now, church, I want to tell you something. It's not like you want to put yourself in a position like these lepers, that you have nowhere to turn. But I can tell you this, every time the devil thinks that he's got you trapped, that there is nowhere to turn to the left or the right, you can't go forward, you can't go backwards. When you're in that position, you have to do what these lepers did. And that is blind faith steps out and says, God, I trust in you no matter what's going on, and you have to step out and do something. Hello? When Peter was on the boat, in the water, and Jesus came walking on the sea, and he said, Lord, if that's you, call me to come to you, bid me to come to you. And so he said, well, come on. Okay, now, that didn't have to take place. They could have stayed in the boat and just kept rowing along, you know. That's a completely different area of faith. These lepers here have nowhere to turn. So they decide they're going to step out no matter what. So the story goes here in chapter 7, verse 3. It says they were at the entrance of the gate. Verse 4 says they said, well, we'll enter the city of the famine. Okay, I already told you all that. So at verse 5, so they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. Now, when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. And the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians, look, who did it? Now, did the lepers hear anything? Don't you know there was some anticipation of those lepers walking down there? They're so hungry they really don't even care. But they're walking down there just wondering what's going to happen, wondering who's going to jump out of the tent and kill them, wondering who's going to, what guard they're going to meet at the front that's going to kill one of them, or what's going to take place. They don't have any idea. And they don't hear anything. The funny thing about God is he can be moving in your life in a mighty way and you don't even know it. Hello. God can be doing miraculous things, and you're just walking along thinking, "Oh, I don't think God's even with me." You can get so deceived in life that you are absolutely on the correct path, going down the road with God, doing what he wants you to do, but you have no idea that there's even anything taking place. And so many people stop on the road of life and they give up and they quit. And they say, "Well, God's not moving. I don't see God anywhere. God's not doing anything. I don't see God moving. I don't see God taking place. I don't see nothing happen. I'm not seeing the flash of light, and I'm not seeing the great signs and wonders. I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing that." God's looking for people in life who will be consistent, who will be faithful, who will keep walking, keep going on down that road for him. Keep putting one foot in front of the other no matter what. Hello? You know, one of the great things I've learned about my buddy Ivan is that his level of faith and where he walks, every day he's in his own world. Man, you don't even want to go into his world. But he's in his world, blowing right along. And I mean, in his world, everything is great. God's right there. Everything's going forward no matter what, no matter what comes, no matter where the wind's blowing, no matter what rocks get thrown, no matter what troubles happens, no matter what trauma's coming. He's just going right on in his happy little world. And I have a happy little world that I go into. It's pretty nice, pretty pleasant. Everything's good. It's full of faith, going on down the road. But then I get to looking over to the sidelines sometime and in the bar ditches in life and get to looking around, and then I get to thinking, what's going on over here? And I have to admit it, sometimes I lose sight of what's down the road. Hello, am I in good company here tonight? I mean, y'all, are y'all, just, right? Isn't that life? Isn't that our walk of life? We were just like these four lepers, and we're just going down the road, and we're just believing God's there. And sometimes in life, we want to stop and say, I don't know, man, do we want to go any farther? I mean, they're probably just the camp is just probably right over there. Oh my God, do we want to? I mean, should we just go back and sit at the gate and not? I mean, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, what are we, you know, we don't know. I mean, it could be bad. What if they don't really kill us like in the first thrust? And we're just laying on the side here, kind of suffering slowly. I mean, you know, that wouldn't be too good. I guess it'd be better to go back, guys. But if to go back, you don't see the miracle. To go back, you don't see God moving. To go back, you don't get to see anything happen. You just live out your life naturally. And I don't know about y'all, but that doesn't look too appealing to me anymore. I don't want to just live out my life naturally. Right? I don't want to. I want to see miracles. I want to see God of the Bible, the Jesus that I knew that saved me and delivered me, I want to see him moving. You know, imagine what it was like in the early church. Imagine what it was like at the church service when Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in church. Can you imagine us having church here today and the EMS is sitting outside? And you're going to church and say, what's that? And say, well, you know, sometimes people's hearts are not right. They go to church, they just drop dead. That EMS just said, they just get over here every Sunday and just carry them out. Y'all want to come, you know, I mean, we want to, come on, brothers, come on to church. Y'all with me? But it happened. It was real. It was a part of the New Testament that the Spirit of God was moving so mightily and so strong in the churches that literally people dropped dead from lying to the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's God's grace that he hasn't moved in those amount of strengths before. He'd probably wiped all, there wouldn't be no Christians left. So these lepers walking, they don't hear God. They don't hear anything going on. They hear nothing. Verse 6 says, for the Lord caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of the horses and the noise of the great army. Hold your finger there. Go back just a couple of chapters to 6. Just go back one. Don't have to go back a couple. Just go back one. When the Syrians were making war against Israel, they sent a troop to go find Elisha and kill him. You know, they sent like the special forces to go get him. They took like the best of the Syrian army they had, and they took they called them raiders, but they were the special forces of the Syrian army. They sent them to find Elisha and kill him because every time the Syrians were setting up an ambush for Israel, Elisha would go tell the king, said, hey, don't go over there because they're all waiting over there behind that pass or that draw over there. You with me? And so they said, go kill that guy. I mean, good gosh. So they sent a special forces group that got him over there. And so they went to get him. And so it says in verse 14, they sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and they surrounded the whole city. And when the servant of the man of God arose and he went out, and there was an army surrounding the city and horses and chariots and his servants with him, he said, alas, master, what shall we do? So the servants looking in his natural eyes, the whole city is surrounded by chariots. The whole city is surrounded by the special forces from the Syrian army who are bad, bad, bad boys. So they're going to kill us all. And you just get this feeling between, you know, verse 15 and verse 16 when he says, alas, master, what shall we do? That there's a lot of fear in his voice. And so Elisha speaks and he says, I don't fear. For those who are with us are more than with them. And don't you know that he started looking around, that immediately that servant looked around and said, okay, let's see, there's me and there's you. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more prophets over there. And you know, he's counting, he's thinking, these guys are special forces and we're going to go, what are we going to do? Because he was looking in the wrong place. Folks, most of the time when we have fear in our life, it's because we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking in the wrong place. Our eyes are fixed upon the wrong thing. And he says, so look right here. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. Now, whose eyes is he going to open? Just that servant, just that one guy. Now, see, if it had been me, I'd opened all the Syrians' eyes, the special forces guys. I'd open their eyes so they're going, ah! Right? I'd have been so cool. I'd have just said, hey, guys, watch this. I mean, that's just the mean streak in me. But he didn't say that. He just wanted to open up just his servant's eyes. And he says, he opened his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man, he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and of chariots and of fire and all around Elisha. So when this is taking place over here in chapter 7, and the lepers are walking down the road, what is the Syrian army hearing? But those fiery chariots of horses, those spirit, you know, horses and chariots and warriors rumbling around. And they're like, there's an army coming. Oh, my God. I don't know who they got. They must have hired somebody else. But here they come. We got to get out of here. So they looked and said to one another, I'm back in chapter 7, verse 6. Look, to the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for all their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one of the tents, they ate and they drank, and they carried it from it silver and gold and the clothing, and went in and they hid them from that. So when they came back, they entered into another tent, they carried it out, and also they hid it. I don't know. That's all the Bible says, but I just kind of think that they went in there and just wallered all over everything. Right? I mean, they're lepers. They can't touch anything, and there's a whole army's out there, and they're going into tent. I think they just wallered all over everything here, you know. And nobody's wanted us. Here's the whole camp is ours. They just had a heyday. Gathered up all the stuff. Now, don't you know, it goes on, the story goes on to tell, that, you know, they were astounded at what had happened, that there was nobody there. But then when they got to eating and got to doing all this and got to taking gold and stuff out, they felt bad because they knew the city was back there starving. They had a heart. These weren't just your normal lepers. They weren't mad. They said, forget them. Leave them alone. They said, we got to go tell the rest of the city. Okay? The point I want to say to you here tonight and leave you with is that in life, when we're like the lepers and you think you've got nowhere to go, folks, you're just not looking in the right place. There is more with you than there is with them. There is the whole realm of the spirit that we don't even really understand. There is armies in heaven that we don't really understand how it all works. But all I'm telling you is you can't make it work. All you can do is by faith walk down the road. By faith, you put one foot in front of the other. By faith, you keep serving God. By faith, you keep exalting Jesus as Lord. By faith, you keep walking down there saying, Lord, I don't know. I just know there's more with me than there is with them. You just keep going on and just keep walking on and just keep walking on and just keep believing God and saying, Lord, I don't know if you don't. It'd be nice to see a bunch of fiery church. It'd be nice to hear the sound of them. But Lord, all I'm going to do, Lord, is just keep walking. And you're going to make it happen. Folks, that is the faith, the simple, simple Christian faith that each and every one of us are called to around this world. To just exalt Jesus as Lord and to serve Him and to walk and believing for great things, believing for miracles, believing that He is the God of wonders that He is. Amen? And don't stop. Don't hesitate. Don't pull back. Don't sit on the sidelines of life. Don't go messing around in the bar ditch because you will get stuck. When we were first pastoring here, and I'm through, and we were living, there used to be a double wide trailer over there when that was a parsonage. And one night we heard all this commotion going on over at the church. And in those days, everybody liked to kind of, you know, do things to the church. They didn't really want us here. And some people had pulled over in the bar ditch to mess with the sign out front of the church, going to do something to it. Think they're going to try to set it on fire and burn it up. And it rained. And stupids didn't think about that the bar ditch was wet. And they pulled out in there and got stuck. So about the time I come to the front door and threw on the light and grabbed my shotgun in my hand, not knowing what was going on, they were just, I mean, they were throwing mud 100 yards out there trying to get out of that bar ditch and get out of there, you know. And I laughed so hard about thinking, here you go. You're going to do something. You're going to, you know, you're doing something wrong and you're stuck in the mud. You ain't going nowhere. And so that's how it is. You just get over there in the bar ditch, get to mess around, you're going to get stuck. Stay on the road. Stay on the road of life. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. What a good night. Amen?